Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yeah, dig it. Yeah.
We made it. What do you give for the first anniversary? I believe it's paper.
Yeah, no, we got...
traditionally, it's paper.
No, first anniversary, we get a celebrity look-alike, sound-alike to do a promo.
That's right. If you saw the Scoop Slam, yes. If you saw the Scoop Slam, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Or if you just heard that right there.
Or that. The Dean... Well, yeah, but I, of course, am the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can catch me at Folsom County on the Twitter. With me, as always, it's been a year, as I already said, the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico, is here.
Hi, you can follow me at DanLaw83.
And, of course, right from the start, since becoming a full-time member of the roster.
Last week.
It's none other than Chris Omega Squad Green.
Yo. Greetings, people. Follow me at Omega Squad.
That's right. Now, you can, of course, read the blog that is rarely, if ever, updated at HIACTalkRadio.com. Follow the Twitter at HIACTalkRadio. Like the Facebook at Facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. Subscribe on iTunes. Go to Stitcher Radio, listen to us there. And, of course, we are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com.
Hey, guys, we're gonna do the blog, and I want you to update regularly. We're going to write articles. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that went well. I'm so proud of all of you. Yes, so proud of all of you. For, you know, it's funny. On my LinkedIn profile, I have... HICTalkRadio.com. I'm the webmaster and the content manager. Hopefully they don't check that out to see just how well the content is updated. But anyway, it has been a year.
Right, anything.
I'm sorry, Ray. I mean, Dan, what was that?
Wow.
Well, you were talking over me. I just thought I'd make a Ray comment.
Yeah, but the difference is I'm actually funny and Ray isn't funny at all.
But go ahead. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, that hurt me.
Cut you right to the quick, didn't it?
Oh, I'm done. Forget it.
Right to the core. Right to the core. That's what we do here on...
Bastard.
No, but it's been a year, Dan. Just your thoughts and your, you know, how what's happened in this year? What can we look back on and say,
right, well,
wow?
I'm going to start off kind of goofy, but end off seriously. I mean, I found out a lot of people don't like us.
I knew that before we started.
I guess somebody would have told me. No, the opportunities, it really comes down to who we've met, who we've been able to work with, whether you think we're in the business or not. We all have our foot in a wrestling company doing something on a level that goes beyond just sitting there and being a fan. I take that as a great pleasure. I take that very seriously. And the fact that a year ago nobody cared and we got our own foot in the door, we got our own guys, we made our own friendships, contrary to popular or unpopular belief, the steps we've made in the year far surpassed anything I could have dreamed of. The amount of... I'm not finished, Ray.
Well, that was more of a Brady.
We have to talk higher voice than... Hey, guys. No,
good.
The amount of listens that we get every week, I just still, even as the number it is at, still boggles the mind that that many people hear our voices.
So when did you join this, Omega?
I don't know exactly. It was like, what, second or third show? I probably made my first appearance, though.
Last week, I said.
Last week. No, I think it was, yeah, I think it was like second or third week. I called in from the woods.
Yeah, it was the deep woods, the back hills of, good gracious, where were you? You were somewhere.
I was in western North Carolina, but I was camping with my family. I had to drive to the gas station to get a signal on my cell phone to call.
That's kind of funny. So you left you abandoned your family.
I abandoned my family.
Left
them there to fend for themselves with nothing but sticks and a small fire.
But you called in primarily at the time. It was just a segment. You would call in about UFC, and that was that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it grew from there to now a full-time member.
Yes, I know. Okay. But, you know, hey, I enjoy it. I enjoy contributing. Obviously, I enjoy talking MMA, and I enjoy talking wrestling, what I do contribute. But, you know, it's kind of cool. I mean, I had no intention of being a full-time member of the podcast or even a member of the podcast.
I recall, because you were very adamant from the very beginning. You were like, no, I'm just going to come on, do a segment. Don't count on me. And now we do.
Yeah.
And now we certainly do.
We'll see where that got me.
Yes. And now a year later, here you are. What opportunities have come your way, Omega?
not as many as you guys. I don't have my foot in the wrestling organization. No, I mean, other than talking to you know, greats like, you know, Dan Severn, and, you know, getting humiliated by Tully Blanchard. But, you know, it's just the opportunity just to have this discussion and, you know, and to just talk with all these different people has been really, really, really fun. And, you know, I wouldn't have certainly had that opportunity if not for that show. And hopefully somewhere in the future here, I'll get up and see a New Moon show or something like that.
I'm certainly hoping
all three be in the same place for once, you know.
That would really be interesting.
Sure. You should shoot for September.
Yeah, September seems to be the time. That seems to be where the planets are aligning.
I mean, we went from, you know, just a little podcast to getting an actually pretty good following. You went from, you know, commentating at one show to doing commentary with Brady at several independent wrestling companies to this day.
That would be true, yeah.
Minus one, minus or plus one. Sure. Give or take a few. But you're still doing that. On top of that, I went from just filming the matches. I went from recording the matches.
Yes.
To use film, folks. We went from recording the matches to actually, I guess the title is floor manager, controlling the flow of the show, communicating between the wrestlers in the back, communicating with the guys running the show. A lot of hard work goes into that. You know, I don't envy any of the bookers or any of the guys we've interviewed. You know, it's not easy.
It certainly isn't.
And I want to further the point that, yes, we do work for a company. Whether you choose to put it on your radar or not, we work hard, and we put on a very good show, I think.
I think we're on the radar, though, Dan. I think we are. And, of course...
Sarcasm.
I know, but...
Bing!
Ensure all residences are secure with all doors and windows firmly locked and barricaded.
After a 17-year career, he has finally done it. It's Damian Dragon. How are you doing tonight, Damian?
Oh, phenomenal. You guys literally just made the wife smile and well up as she was listening to that. That was awesome. Thank you so much.
I want you to know every time I listen to the album now, I'm going to think of Damian.
No tears.
Now, where that came from, of course, during your speech after winning the Super 8, you took off your shoes.
Yes.
You had a picture of your face in the ring as well. And you said, "Mama, I'm coming home." Of course, your wife, Veronica, came over, gave you a big hug. And so that's where it came from. I mean, was that just a spur-of-the-moment thing, or was that something you were thinking about beforehand?
It's something that's been a tradition of her and I's for years after she stopped managing me. Basically, you know, I always check in shortly after the match, like literally within 2-3 minutes, I'm on the cell phone and I let her know I'm okay and everything like that. And then, when I'm actually on my way home, I actually text her, "Mama, I'm coming home."
Oh, that's cute. I don't know how to better explain it than that. Now, the Super 8, this was a goal of yours. Pretty much this was your WWE.
Mm-hmm. This was Mania.
And you finally got to do it. You won it. Let's talk about Super 8, though. Let's go back to the first round. Of course, it was against Chris Wilde, a good friend of yours. And
yes.
How was that match?
Tremendous. The energy was unbelievable. Came in. The crowd was shocked just as much as we were that we were facing each other in round one, because obviously we were two, you know, other than crowd favorites, I think we were two odds-on favorites for the whole thing. And then they were getting it right there in round one. And then before Chris even I locked up, the bell rings, and we had to stand there, and the crowd just suddenly split chants, "Let's go Wild, let's go Damian." And it was like, whoa. So Chris and I, like, for a brief moment, just, like, stood there looking at each other going, "This is unreal." this is rather unreal. But then it was, you know, it was down to business, and, you know, it was tooth and nail the whole way. And let me tell you, Chris was on his game for sure, you know, with the experience being in the tournament and everything like that. And, you know, he went for that that signature swanton. I managed to catch him in midair with the ace crusher and got the 1-2-3 in round one.
Woo-hoo. Now, that's awesome. And round two, you faced Mike Mondo. Mike Mondo being from WWE and countless other, I almost said the word territories, but what was it like being in the ring with him for the second round after having a match like that with Chris Wilde the first round?
Two totally different dynamics, number one. Number two was definitely a match I was hoping that would happen. Mondo and I, as I mentioned, go way back, very, very far back before, just before he went to WWE and everything. I mean, I was there for his send-off show and everything like that. You know, saw him a couple times over the course of time during that. And then, of course, during my small run with Ring of Honor, he was there, you know, every step of the way, pushing me, supporting me on the on the Twitter with me and everything like that, making sure I was training hard and giving me motivation. And it was definitely something I was looking forward to, but I also knew the match was going to be a totally different dynamic, which it was. We barely, most, I'd say 99% of the match was actually right there in the center of the ring. I think it was, I hit the ropes once, and there was one suplex, but then everything was pretty much right there in the center of the ring. The guys, you know, so technically sound, strong, you know, obviously, hits hard, you know, my chest definitely showed the markings in the pictures. There was one point we were pretty much in locked legs upside down on headstands, chopping each other upside down. And I know it's kind of a hard visual by explanation, but we were going and Mondo was having an edge, picked me up for his implant DDT, and I managed to spin around and hit him with an ace crusher and got the 1-2-3.
Jeez.
And then at that, also at that point, real quick, at that point, I was actually wrestling already with a busted up wrist that I had hurt in the first round that I didn't even know about, which is why I came out with my hand heavily taped up in round two as well.
Now, is that broken or do you not know yet?
No, it, the swelling's finally going down and everything like that. I think it just sprained it like really good. But yesterday, it's funny, I took a picture of it and a friend of mine goes, if I didn't know any better, that was the Big Show's hand next to your hand. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's the swelling's going down. I'm starting to have remnants of what's starting to look like two more knuckles on my hand. So.
Oh, there you go. That's good to know.
Exactly.
Now, the final round was, of course, against the Greek god Papadon.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, when you think of ECWA, I typically think of Papadon, then Fusion DS, Chris Wilde, that sort of thing. But he really is like the personification, if you will, of ECWA. Of course,
oh, absolutely.
A 560-day reign as champion, last year's Super 8 winner, the year of the God was 2012. What was it like getting in there with a guy who steamrolled through the competition as well?
Another guy just, you know, I have over a decade history with the guy, you know, starting from tag teams all the way up into singles, like a mini singles feud going over the course of over a decade. And, you know, I went on record and said he was, you know, the greatest opponent I've had my entire career. No offense to anybody I've ever faced, but just Papadon always brought something out of me that, you know, I just maybe pushed a little further, a little harder than I thought I could. And let me tell you, Papadon on Saturday night brought it harder than he's ever brought it to me. I mean, I'll be honest, you know, he steamrolled me. I had markings all over my face. He beat the hell out of my back, like everything. And then at one point on an exchange, I had him in a submission hold, and I went to stand up because he wasn't tapping. So I went to stand up, and the back of my right hamstring popped all of a sudden out of nowhere. And I was pretty much spaghetti. I was spaghetti legged. I had no support on my leg and everything like that, and I was having a hard time standing. But somehow I just was refusing to stay down, and it just felt like my body wanted to quit, but my heart and my head obviously wasn't going to let it, you know, no matter what my body wanted to do, I wasn't going to let it happen. And then at some point I managed to knock him off the top rope, and I was right there. I was like, I'm just going for broke. And I jumped off the top and managed to catch him coming off the ropes with the ace crusher and managed to catch the 1-2-3.
Wow. That's quite a finish. But I do have a caller. I'm not sure who it is. I reached out to a few of your friends, so I'm not sure if this is one of them. Let me put them on.
That's real nice.
Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Howard.
Hey, Howard. How are you? Oh, good to hear from you.
Do you have a question? I'm sorry, Howard. Do you have a question for Damien?
Yeah, Papadon. That was my favorite match of the night.
Awesome. I'm glad. I'm definitely glad. I mean, like I told, Howard was there live, and I said it in the ring. I mean, in terms of my performance in the ring in that match, I wasn't absolutely proud of it, just because, like I said, my body was just giving up, and at one point, it was just me just fighting with myself as much as having Papadon beat the hell out of me trying to make it through. But I'm just glad at the feedback on it, and the people enjoyed it, and you enjoyed it, Howard. I'm really glad.
You know, you gave him hell, too, so, I mean, after the match, in the chair. So, you gave him hell, too.
Oh, I appreciate that.
All right, Howard, thanks for calling in. Do you have anything else, right before I let you go?
Your Chris Wilde match was also awesome. Mike Mondo, definitely there. But like I said, my favorite of the night, Papa Don.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
And I'll see you guys later.
Take it easy, Howard.
Thank you, Howard.
Yes, thanks for calling in, Howard. Now, Dan, I believe you have the next question.
No, I mean, going into this, I mean, we talked backstage at New Moon quite a bit about what this year meant to you as far as, well, I mean, I can say it now, as far as retiring. And did you know when we were talking late last year or early this year when we were talking, did you know Super 8 was going to be it?
No, I honestly didn't. I was honestly, I was really looking to do November, December, depending on where ECWA was going to have its last show in Delaware. I really was looking for it to be at that point. It's just the way things were unraveling and the way things were going, and then the way things had ended at the Super 8. It was like, you know what? This is it. This is the right time. Because I didn't want to be, you know, at the end of it all, you know, winning it and everything like that, I didn't want to be the guy that kept going on and I was taking away from the other guys. Since I was on the way out, I didn't want to keep being there and taking attention away from guys that could have an opportunity to step up and be in my position that ECWA was so gracious to have me in. It just didn't feel right, especially being I was going to be on the way out. I was like, you know what? So I think my body was literally telling me, I think this is it, kid, during that last match. Like, it really was telling me, like, this is it, kid. But in the same token, I was just like, you know what? Now is my time to step aside. Now is definitely my time to step aside.
Now, the unlacing of the boots, I'll ask it like this. How much time did you get to think about this?
It was a very quiet car ride to the building. You know, I was like really, really thinking about it, really contemplating it, and then just feelings I was having inside. I'm a person that listens to my gut a lot, because usually it's, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's right. And it was just like, you know what, it's just, I was having a feeling if it was the way it was going, it was just right. And then, like I said, the way the tournament itself unfolded and the way the energy was, it was like, you know what, this is it. You know, this was definitely it, you know, for sure.
Now, Big Vito was there, your mentor.
Oh, yeah.
The guy, now, did you know he was coming?
Not at all. For those that got to see the video footage on my page, Jen, one of my awesome fans, but more than a fan, friend, family, Jen Knight. She recorded it with her cell phone. If you watch that, my face was 100% genuine. I had no clue. I turned around and there he was. And my face of shock was amazing. Basically, I had called him literally that morning, 8:30 in the morning, just to say thank you for everything he'd done for me over the years and just always being there as a friend and a brother and a mentor and a teacher and breaking my ass the way he did and everything. I left, and then apparently his fiance Noelle got in touch with Veronica, because we all go way back and we talk, you know, other than wrestling. And she's like, Vito wants to talk to you. And she got on the phone with him, and he's like, look, I want to go. Do you think you could help arrange it? And my wife began getting in touch with Zanoli and going back and forth with Zanoli and Vito and making arrangements for him to be there. Apparently, he showed up during the Battle Royal and just kind of stayed hidden in the shadows. I had no clue he was there. None.
So you had no idea, even before that moment you saw him in the ring, that was the moment you knew he was. That's crazy.
Yeah, because as far as I knew, he had a booking that night. He was scheduled to, as far as I know, he was supposed to be tagging up with Nunzio that night someplace else, as far as I knew. And then just on his own, you know, like he said, you know, nobody asked him to come, nobody paid him, and he did it all on his own. Got in touch with my wife, and he's like, "I got to be there. And can we get this arranged?"
How was it after as long as it was having your wife there with you watching this, knowing what was going to unfold?
It was definitely, you know, emotional. I had my own personal surprise for her as well. As in round two, I came out with a long trench coat that I've never worn to the ring before. That trench coat I used to wear when she and I were running together, when she was managing me and everything like that. So that was part of our deal then. So when I came out in round two and she saw the coat, she was like a groupie at a Poison concert. She was losing her mind. She was like, oh my. But it was like my, it was my tribute and my thank you to her, because also leading up to the Super Date, it was really cool because it was like she was my manager all over again, but just at home. But she was just like, get to the gym, making sure I was eating right, and she was working on all my meals, and she was doing everything possible to just try to keep me as close to sane as possible going into it, because I my head was a mess and everything like that, so she was it was great. Like I said, it was like having her in my corner all over again. For a while, like, I used to use an intro song by a band called In This Moment called You Always Believe, and that was a song she dedicated to me personally that became my intro theme for a while, because it was my way of keeping, like, my way of spiritually keeping her by my side and everything. So it was definitely emotional. And then when she got in the ring and we were hugging, she's actually talking to me, because she'd seen the ECWA DVDs and everything, and she always heard the crowd reaction. She's like, wow, even when we weren't the nicest guys of season DS, the people still, genuinely liked us. But she was, to hear it live, and especially the energy that night was amazing. She's basically hugging me, and she's just going, I don't want you to retire now. She's
like, too bad, I can't feel my foot.
It's like, I can't feel anything. But, she was just like, just because to hear the way the people responded to me. And also, she hadn't seen me wrestle live and in person in a number of years. And she's like, you got so much better. You trained so much hard. Look at the shape you're in. And she's like, I almost feel wrong taking you away from them. But, it's the right time and the right reasons.
All right, Damien, I do have another caller, so here we go. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Wow, it's a good day, and I feel my life is changing because Damien is on the air, just so you are all aware, because he's got something to share.
That's my man, John. How you doing, John?
Yes, that's John.
I tried to keep it a secret for a moment.
I had a feeling you'd call in, though, John. I'm glad you did.
So, John, do you have a question for Damien? This is his last wrestling-related interview. Well, probably
I know,
not,
and I was just about to say what Foxy would have said. I don't want you to retire now. Actually, listening, after your career ending from the last match, for your last match, would you ever want to consider either you or Foxy or the companies that you've worked for over the years make a 3-disc set to show the world how phenomenal and great you were over the years in wrestling?
You mean make one more appearance?
No, a DVD big
set. I'm not too clear on what the question was. I'm sorry.
Do you want a DVD set of your career?
Oh, I wanted a DVD set of my career. We tried to put it together and everything like that. We have stuff like still on VHS that we got to put on DVD and everything. But, we're going to have a little more, not a lot more, but a little more free time now. We're going to try to put something together for sure, and definitely share that with people. Because I know a lot of people didn't get to see our run together because it was so, quite a number of years ago and everything like that. So, we're definitely going to try to eventually work on putting something together.
All right. That's my question, and I absolutely appreciate your greatest moment after from last week winning for your last match, Damien.
Thank you very much, John.
And I will make sure I'll be on with you Friday, and have a great week.
You too. Take care now. See you on Nerd Herders.
All right. So that was John from Rhode Island, a surprise caller.
And that's Friday at 9 o'clock, by the way.
Yes, Friday at 9 o'clock, Nerd Herders. Now, I have a question. This is kind of going behind the curtain, and I know, sometimes we don't like to go there. But when did you find out that this was going to happen? I mean, everybody knows that this is, of course, predetermined, that sort of thing. So when did when did you know? Like, when was the decision made?
Super 8 is kept very, very, very under lock and key. It always has been. So pretty much, as things were getting closer and everything like that, it was still a matter of wondering what's going on. And because, there was a million directions you can go, especially it's the Super 8, You can give it to the guy that you're looking to push in the company. You can give it to the guy that you're looking to push to do whatever or anything like that. So it was a toss-up, especially with this group. This group was amazing. It was a toss-up between anybody, literally anybody.
Yeah.
And I do feel that way. you know, so it was pretty much, you know, finding out that day how it was going to plan was pretty much how everything was going. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. Whoa. It was like definitely like a big eye opener and everything like that. Like, and I couldn't thank ECWA and the people all behind it enough for that. Because again, you know, I'm the guy that's literally on, that was like on the way out, you know, when this is a tournament that people literally use to springboard themselves and everything. And, you know, so it was definitely, I have no words for what they've done for me.
Okay. Dan, do you have something? I know you do.
Oh, I just forgot. I'm sorry. I read something that surprised me. yeah, it's gone. Oh, it's gone, Dean. Forget it. Damn it.
Okay. I was just going to say, part of the reason you have been so important to the show, you, of course, were the first guests, you and Matt.
Mm.
Now, here's a question before I get to the actual question I was going to ask. Matt came in the ring during your retirement speech. Some people were a little trepidatious. They felt they might have been doing something, but you two wound up having a Madison Square Garden moment, as I like to call it.
Yes, yes.
So what was behind that? Was that just a spur-of-the-moment thing that he did, or...?
Yeah, completely spur of the moment. There was two other spur of the moment thing other than the veto thing. Because tradition is obviously all the competitors come out at the end of it and everything like that. And I look around ringside and Keiko is there. And I'm like, you know, I wasn't expecting him. And you guys know, again, you know, behind the curtain, that's one of my closest friends and travel buddies and everything, you know, the quote unquote, you know, wolf pack, so to speak. So, you know, like it was great seeing him there. So I had just unlaced my boots, and then, like, the crowd was, like, it was mixed. They were, like, yelling, you know, somebody stop them and everything like that. But then they started, you know, chanting, thank you, Dan. But then it went quiet for a second, and I'm like, what the heck's going on? And I looked behind me, and there was Matt. And I was like, okay. And I had, like, no clue. I had no clue Kikoa was going to be there. I had no clue that Matt was going to be there whatsoever. And That itself, again, was just a tremendous, tremendous surprise and everything like that, that we can close out on that note with each other.
Now, of course, you guys in ECWA had the feud going into the Super 8. You guys had a great match in March in Newark, Delaware. So ending it together, I think, was a really good moment, and I think that's stronger than ever. That's what I like to say.
Oh, absolutely.
Fusion DS, stronger than ever. But you two, I mean, there's still the relationship there, because we've always said that you guys are like brothers. You were like the older brother. He was the younger brother. Is that still there? Are you guys really stronger than ever, so to say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I would, you know, the guy has a head in my household and everything like that. I mean, he's always busy because he's, you know, he's a company man now, owns his own business and everything like that. But you know what, there's, you know, there'll be a day I'm having a crap day at my real world job and I get a text or something like that. And it's like, hey, you know, and same thing back and forth. Well, if he's having a hard time and he needs some advice, and I'm not just talking wrestling, I'm just talking life, you know, regular life. And everything, or like, you know, it's just, we're always there for each other. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, siblings fight and everything like that. And sometimes the fight is intense. Sometimes the fight isn't hard. But at the end of the day, you know, you're still family. And I don't come from a very big family. A lot of my family was attained through friends and from on the road. And in a business where there aren't many you can call like absolute 100% pure friends, or even close to the fact of like brothers. You know, it's a rare occurrence, and when it does, you know, you cherish those regardless of whatever differences you have and everything. And, you know, Matt's always got a place in my family.
Now, the matches between you and Matt, is that something that, being this close to the end of the career, that you'll look back on and not enjoy, or were there some of the better moments?
It was 50-50, especially the no DQ match we had, because, I mean, we beat the holy hell out of each other. We beat the whole hell out of each other, and seeing the pictures and the stuff, especially that I was doing to him and everything, it was hard to look at. But in the same token, in the moment, like, that match was magic. And then for two guys that were just known as tag team guys, and you know, Matt gets a hard time with some of the ECWA people and everything like that in terms of his ability. But I mean, we were getting comments that night and the next day that was a match of the year candidate. And that alone was like, wow, you know, it's like, it's only March, you know, and people were calling it a match of the year candidate. And, you know, and again, this is from two guys that made their staple in the company as tag team wrestlers. So that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
You did it to me again, Dean. I'm going to smack you so hard.
Come on, Dan.
No, I mean, you made me forget.
You
come on, Dan.
I know.
Hey, don't ride me, okay? Now, Matt's still obviously involved in a couple companies, one being New
mm-hmm.
Moon. Are you going to, for a little while, disappear, or are you going to take a seat back, or are you going to still back up your boy?
I mean, I'm always going to be, you know, backing them up, but from here. I don't want to tarnish what ECWA has done. I don't mean that guy that's like, hey, I'm still kind of popping around and everything like that, you know. I got to give it some breathing. Plus, also, you know, I got to get back to being a family man, because one thing that my wife had brought up, too, is now we have to learn how to be a married couple without wrestling, because we met in the professional wrestling business. A whole relationship was based off of wrestling, and you know, we have kids and everything like that. But now it's like, okay, now we have to learn how to live life as a family without it and everything. So it's like that's a huge adjustment for both of us and everything. That's like definitely a big adjustment for both of us now. So it's a matter of living life that way. But you know, I mean, I'm always going to keep track of what's going on with my guys for sure.
Just one of the things I wanted to say is the backstage presence. And you know, I saw you in between intermissions at ECWA, but one of the pleasures I had was knowing you as a friend at the shows, and I mean New Moon Rising, not just, you know, talking to you backstage, but you with the boys. You were always talking with other people, anybody. You were always chatting, having a good time back there, and it's a body that's going to be missed back there that makes it fun. And I just wanted to thank you for that. It was a comment. And you're one of the guys backstage that makes it fun, always joking around, keeping the spirits up. And, you know, that's going to be missed back there.
I definitely appreciate that, Dan. I definitely appreciate that.
And I do have another caller, so let me get them on. Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys, it's Brady from Pro Wrestling Illustrated in the
room. Hey, Brady.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Do you have a question for Damien?
You know, I don't have a question so much. I just called in now, so I haven't gotten to listen to the whole interview. But I do want to say, Damien, that you're one of the good guys, and I am going to miss seeing you around.
I appreciate from you, Brady. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You know, you, the Hell in a Cell crew, all you guys were like so instrumental in terms of getting me to the point that I was at on Saturday. So, you know, I owe you guys, you know, a huge debt of gratitude. So thank you as well.
If you could, just talk about how awesome it is to have that trophy on your mantelpiece, though.
Oh, my God. It's just, it's definitely, actually, between us and everything like that, ECWA even went above and beyond. They actually gave me a personalized one with my name on it and everything. It's amazing. I wasn't expecting that whatsoever. So it's gorgeous. And again, you know, ECWA went above and beyond, and it's an amazing sight to see. That's for sure. It's like, you know, you walk up to it and go, is this real? This is here.
All right, Brady. Thank you for calling in. I'll let you get back to your anti-missile, whatever you're doing there.
What the hell? Just hang up.
What?
Oh,
he was doing something. Go ahead, Dan.
I think he was asking the question actually riding outside of the car with his head down by the road.
I think he was somewhere in North Korea. So we should be
oh,
there.
Jesus Christ. Where he's taking care of business.
Yeah, right. He's going to listen to him. They're both crazy. If I, other than Super 8, I almost forgot that one too. I'm not doing well today. And I'm not even smoking anything. It's completely, I don't even know. If you thought of one moment in your career, what do you think of?
One moment?
One moment that sticks up your mind. If you think, boy, that was fun. I'd like to, not like to do that again, but boy, that was fun. I'm going to miss it. Boom.
Honestly, the people. And that's not a, you know, that's not a cheesy thing towards it's the people, because there was a lot of times over the course of the last couple of short years where, you know, it was hard to be on the road and being away from family and being away and everything like that, you know, and hearing my son say repeatedly, you know, especially over the course of last summer, because he wanted to go to the beach and we couldn't, and hearing him say, "I'm always missing daddy," or my wife, you know, she was very supportive doing my Ring of Honor run, and this is something that stuck with me as well. She's like, she was very proud of me and very happy for me. She was like, "But, you know, going to events without me with the kids and everything like that," she's like, "You know, I would be prouder to have you standing, have my husband with me, than tell people you're at Ring of Honor." So that, you know, these were things that definitely weighed on, but like, what always helped, especially, you know, with you guys and ECWA and everything like that, were the people. They basically, you know, they made me feel better when I was away from home, because it was my family away from home. And then the guys, I mean, there was so many tremendous guys in the locker room. And, you know, and again, I'm not a hard person to approach at all. You know, I'm open to everybody and everything. I'm, you know, it's wrestling. You're supposed to have a good time. That's the thing.
Yes.
You know, it's wrestling. At the end of the day, you know, you're there to be entertained. We're there to entertain you. And it's a give and take. You know, if you're just in there doing it for yourself, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Because the thing is, if there's nobody sitting in the seats, then who are you doing it for? You know what I mean? Then why are you doing it? You know, it's the same thing. Even, you know, if you're on TV, there's still a live audience. There's still a national TV audience that, you know, that's watching. You're doing it for those people. You're there to entertain those people. And I just always found a great, intense connection to the fans and to the people. And I always made myself readily available. And, you know, kids, it didn't matter. Kids to adults, it didn't matter to me. It was, you know, because, again, I'm not a big name. I'm not a name, period. I don't consider myself a name. So it's like the fact that you guys take the time to pay attention to me, I appreciate that. So, of course, I'm going to pay attention to you. You know, I'm just a normal, average working guy who got the chance to do something that was definitely a dream, for sure.
Now, one of the things that happens at your matches, tag team or singles, is the banter. And it doesn't happen a lot, but while you guys are wrestling, some of the funniest things I've ever heard is you and Matt going back and forth. You and Matt going back and forth, and you guys going back and forth with your opponents. Is that something that you developed on purpose, or is that just spur of the moment, just to get the crowd? Was it done on purpose, or was it just done because you were in the moment?
The way it happened was, people that know the story of Fusion DS, we were two singles guys that were stuck together last minute as a tag team, like literally last minute. And so, you know, again, we were still kind of getting to know each other, and we were just kind of in, you know, come out in good guy mode and everything like that. But that really, it's not that I can't do it, and not that he can't do it. It just wasn't working. It really wasn't fitting. And it was like, but behind the scenes, you know, the closer we got, it was just more of our personality showing through. So that's when we were kind of like, you know what, let's just drop the act and just be us. You know, let's be goofy. Because, like, when you guys first met us, you know, on before we were in the ring, you guys, you know, you see us as a tag team, and we're insulting each other and everything like that, and we're ripping on each other. So we just, like, you know what, let's just be ourselves in the ring. So that just became kind of our thing, regardless of whether we were the quote-unquote, you know, good guys or bad guys. It was us ripping on each other, and then once we got our groove going, it turned into ripping on the other people and everything like that. And it's, and in turn, it just seemed it resonated with people, and it made us, you know, obviously more entertaining, because it was no longer an act. It was just us being us. And then, you know, when we were frustrated, we let that show in the ring. We were frustrated, and it just came out. So it was just, we just started riding it off of the way we really felt and the way we really were. And it was probably the best decision we made. We were like, you know what, let's just drop the act and let's just be us. You know, and it worked.
One of the funniest moments, again, this is not a question, it's a comment, and then Dean's going to take it over before he shoots me, but it was, I think, the first or second ECWA show that Hell in a Cell was at together, and we would do the follow-ups after the matches, get, like, a couple minutes from the guys, and Dean's like, all right, let's take this over, we're going to get 5 minutes from Fusion DS, and we proceeded to talk for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It was edited down to 3 minutes. And I'm sure he loves you for that, but that's what sold me, not only your wrestling ability, but you guys going back and forth is some of the funnest and funniest stuff I've ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, it was just just us being us, you know, just two goofy guys. Because how many times can you listen to the same old, you know, I'm going to beat this guy, we're better than that guy, we're better than this, we're better than that. I mean, that's the same humdrum, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Also, if you want people to listen, you got to be engaging. So it's like our only way to be engaging was just to be ourselves.
Now, I do have a question. Is Foxy somewhere around?
She's listening to the podcast. She's listening to the podcast a bit with her computer and headphones intently.
Okay.
But if you have a question for her, I could put her on the line for sure. Hold on.
Bring her over.
Hello.
Hi, Foxy.
Hey.
Foxy.
Hi.
How are you? Now, the question I have for you, Damian going into retirement, what does this mean to you?
To me, it means I get to have some quality time with my husband. We get to go out on dates, like impromptu, instead of planning them 2 months in advance. We get to go to, you know, friends and family events, like birthday parties and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to just having a Saturday night at home watching really bad shark movies on Netflix. You know, I mean, yeah.
This is really something that you've been looking forward to. As successful as 2012 was for Damian, winning the Samoa Cup, Ring of Honor matches, things like that,
mm-hmm.
Do you think that this transition for him is something that he's looking forward to, that you're both looking forward to? I mean, it's really like you guys are starting over in a way.
I know, it really is. In terms of him, what I keep telling him is that the transition for him is going to be a lot easier because this was his decision. He wasn't, you know, forced out of it. There weren't circumstances like an injury that made him stop, unlike me where I stopped because, you know, I got pregnant and the way I went out, I was really technically not able to come back. So it's like doing this on his own decision, it's going to be more comfortable for him and it's going to be an easier transition to do it. And I think he is looking forward to, you know, not being beat up every weekend or not having to spend a majority of the week prepping for a show on Saturday or on Friday. So he gets to actually sit down and enjoy life. Like, what's that like?
Yeah, because if you think about it, for the past 17 years, nearly every weekend he has been doing something. So this is, like, really an amazing thing for him to go through at this point.
Yeah,
it's almost
it is.
Like getting out of the military is the best way I can describe it, really. You know, he has to
yeah.
be a civilian again.
Exactly.
So, now, do you have a date planned already? Are you looking forward to something on maybe this Saturday or something soon?
Yeah, 2 weeks, Iron Man 3.
Well, the funniest part about this weekend is that, you know, he did his thing, he won, he retired, the body wasn't even freaking cold yet, and all of our friends are like, oh, we're going out on Saturday, we're taking you drinking, we're having a guy's night, and I'm just sitting there like, really? First week, and yes. So, I mean, I have no problem with him going out and having a couple drinks with the guys like normal human beings, but I mean, hopefully we'll be going out relatively soon. The weather's been gorgeous, and hopefully some of the friends will be like, hey, maybe Veronica should get a shot at this, you know?
Yeah, finally. So, Foxy, give Nerd Herders a plug here.
Okay, well, you can listen to myself and my lovely retired co-host now on blogtalkradio.com/DreamElite every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. We host a show called Nerd Herders where we talk about all our cool nerdy things like movies and TV shows and comic books and video games and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Go ahead.
Speaking of Nerd Herders, hi, Foxy, mm-hmm. How you doing?
Hi.
My question is, speaking of Nerd Herders, that took off. It got pretty big pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to focus, like, most of your attention on doing that podcast? Because you guys could take that to levels not expected.
You know, with the free time, we're going to try. I mean, there's a lot of things he and I wanted to do as a team generally. Like, I wrote a 6-issue comic book and I needed him to draw it because he's a much better artist than I am. So we're going to do that. We are going to spend some more time on Nerd Herders because we had a lot of great ideas and big hopes for it that now we could actually focus on. So who knows? Maybe we could take all of our other things and transition them over to wherever we want to take them now.
I mean, you need to take over the G4 mantle, because other than, you know, my show, that's one of my favorite podcasts.
Aw, thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Dino.
All right, Foxy. Thank you for being there. Can you put Damien back on the line? And it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
It was a pleasure to speak to you, too. And, yes, here's the Man of the Hour again.
Okay.
I am back.
All right. Damien, you're a lucky answer. So we got to speak with Foxy there, your wife, who has been by your side for so long. But I just wanted to say, and I was alluding to it earlier, you and Matt really kind of took us, this podcast, under your wing. You've been really important to the podcast. If I ever needed you on, you were one of the guys that, boom, you were on. We, like I said leading up to this, you were the first guest in the history of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. You were the first guest of 2013 talking about the Super 8. You mean a lot to this podcast and to me personally as an individual. So I want to say thank you, because you taught me not just about wrestling, but you taught me about how to be a better man, I think. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
Oh, I appreciate that, Dan. Dean, I really do. You guys have been phenomenal. We've had a hell of a bunch of laughs. I can only imagine the stuff that wound up on the cutting room floor that we have talked about on air, and then all just the goofiness off air and everything. But, you know, absolutely. And I couldn't be more honored on the one-year anniversary of Hell in a Cell to be on. So congratulations to you guys. Happy anniversary. I have to tell you guys that.
Yeah.
I love him.
It's kind of like the Super 8, too. During your speech, you said where it all started, it ends. Not that we're ending, but we've come full circle with you. And
absolutely.
I think that's really something. But enjoy civilian life, Damien. You deserve it. And, you know, congratulations on winning that Super 8, something that you have been searching for.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And, Damien, here is the outro, and I think it – I think it really means something to both you and Foxy as you start the second phase, not of your career, but of your life.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you again so very much. We'll catch you on another journey. You never know, the face might pop up again. But again, with all my heart, not on a professional level, but on a personal level and everything, friends and thank you all so very much. It's been one hell of a ride.
Yes, it has. Lucky 13 comes to an end, but it's the new start of something else.
Thank you, Dan.
Absolutely. Thank you.
The miles are getting longer, it seems. The closer I get to you. I've not always been the best man, a friend for you, but your love remains true, and I don't know why. You always seem to give me another try. Goes out to Damien and Foxy as they start their next journey. He's going home, Dan.
man, dude, it's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's sad. Not sad like, oh, man, he's dead. But, I mean, it's a sad thing, man. He was a great wrestler. He's a funny guy. He's got a hell of a lot of talent. He can do anything. And, you know, he had a full career, and it's sad to see him go. It really, really is sad.
Yeah, but we should all have the opportunity to go out like that.
Hope I only have the opportunity to go out like that.
Definitely at the top of his game. Now, we pushed back Tank, and I can't say I'm sorry about it.
Oh, don't start your crap, Dean.
I'm just saying. We got the biggest star of New Moon Rising Wrestling, as well as the biggest dummy coming up. And, well, here it comes.
Those Saturdays when kids go out and play, yo, I was up in my room, I let the stereo play. Was it faded, not jaded, just a kid with a pad and a pen and a big imagination. All this I see, I find, but the envelope to the line. Make it, break it, take it, until I'm overrated. Click, click, boom, I'm coming down on the stereo, hit me on the radio. Click.
Former WWE superstar, Ring of Honor superstar, Tank Tolan. How are you doing tonight? Not that I care.
Don't forget a few other superstars, different promotions, such as New Moon Rising Wrestling, current.
Well, that's true.
Champion.
You are the current champion there. You did cheat to win. However, how are you doing tonight, Tank?
Cheat to win. Okay. I'm going to have to check the video footage on that one, but sure. I'm great. Where's Dan?
I'm right here, Tank. What's going on, bro?
Hey, Dan. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Hey, how does it feel to, like, go down a level to talk to somebody like Dean?
I like to do my charity, my part with charities, and I feel sometimes brightening up the day of someone that lives under a rock, such as Dean, it's the least I can do. When you're a star that shines as bright as I do, It's nice to let a little bit of that sunlight, that bright, shining star, creep under that rock that he lives under. You know, it's the least I can do to help out. And I'm sure you understand, you know, how hard it is to deal with some certain people such as him. I mean, you know, he's
work with him every week.
He's nothing short for you, I guess, like, you know, since you're next to him all the time, he's basically sitting on top of you. He's basically nothing more than a hemorrhoid for you, right?
Yeah, that's actually a good... Yeah, hemorrhoid's good.
Pain in the ass. Yeah,
pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you feel about all these accusations that you put your hands on him? I mean, I was there. I didn't see it touch him. And he keeps going after you.
You know, it's pretty easy. You know, to just check the video footage on that. I think he's got a very creative imagination. I think he sees things a lot differently from how everybody else sees them. But, you know, hey, whatever works for him, that's fine.
You punch me right in the mouth, Tank. Right in the mouth.
You know, Dean, let's be real about this. We both know that's not true, because if I had punched you in the mouth, you still wouldn't be talking to this day. So that's a fact. Onto other business, we have a match coming up this Saturday.
Yes, you do. It's a six-man tag, of course. You know what? Let's call a truce for the duration of this interview right now.
Okay. I can do that. I
want to conduct myself as a professional. Not that I'm going to apologize. Anyway.
So go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, so this coming Saturday, you have the Burgundy Brigade. Now, this is a large, rotund individual who has gotten one of your nemesis in the fold, Mike Reed. He has Mark Angel, who is a young upstart, and Nathan Avery, the standard of excellence. How do you think you can handle them? I mean, you have the gunners with you, but, I mean, everybody's really gunning after the champ.
Well, I mean, that's without question. Who wouldn't want to be the champ? You know, you're the king of the mountain. You know, you're the lion. And the bottom line is that, you know, when you're up top, everybody's going to be gunning for you. Everybody's going to want to be where you are. And they're scratching and clawing to get up there, but you know, they're hungry. They're hungry. But when you're the king of the mountain, you're on top. And there's always food at the top. You just got to be able to stay hungry. You got to be able to stay determined to keep yourself up at the top. So it doesn't matter who I'm facing, whether it be this Saturday or, you know, the show after that or the show after that. It doesn't matter. Whoever's going to be standing in my way between, you know, me and the championship belt, and, you know, retaining it, it's going to be up for the fight of their life. And I'm not going to be one to just, you know, give up that title without fighting my hardest. So this Saturday is going to be no different.
Now, how does it feel being the New Moon Rising heavyweight champion? I mean, it's another accolade, and in my opinion, you worked really hard, even for the Brawl for It All, to get that championship. Shut up, Dean. I'm asking the question.
Sorry.
I mean, how does it feel to have another accolade under your belt, literally?
I mean, it really feels it's an honor to be the New Moon Rising wrestling champ. It's a title that I hold dearly to me because this is my home area. I mean, I've had other titles in other parts of the country, and you know, this is one that that I really, you know, hold near and dear to my heart because it's one that a lot of the people that grew up have watched me from the times that I was just starting wrestling. They can come see, you know, where I am now in my career, and I'm happy to be the champ for this promotion. It's great. It's been fantastic, and you know, every championship that you win, regardless of what promotion it's in, you're proud of it, and you're happy to be a part of that promotion. But this one in particular, I'm definitely very proud of because it's a great promotion that's up and coming, and I think it's still it's in its infancy stages of what its capabilities are as far as, you know, popularity and growing. I think it's still got a lot of room to grow and become even better. But I mean, for as young as it is, I think it's off to a fantastic start, and there's a lot of good competition. That's why I'm glad to be part of it. That's why I'm glad to be wrestling for the company. And it's definitely been a lot of fun, as well as you know, a lot of hard work. It has been hard work to get to that stage, and I think when it comes down to it, I proved myself from the start. It's been about a year now since I think I had my first match, just about.
Just
about a year, and since I had my first, I came there and did my first show there. And I'll tell you, in that year, you know, I've done my fair share of matches, and I worked my way up to that championship belt and earned my shot. And I think if you check my record book, I've proven that I earned it. Because I believe in my win column, it's all wins, and in my loss column, there's zero losses. So I believe that's what you call undefeated. Dean, correct me if I'm wrong. Is that correct?
I think that's correct. Good, Dean. Tell him.
No.
That's okay, Dean.
The next question about the six-man. Go ahead.
He was asking you a question, Dean.
I'm sorry.
He was asking.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. What was the question?
I was just saying. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I'm undefeated.
You did experience a loss in PG-13. You weren't the winner of PG-13, so you do have technically one loss on the record.
Oh, I see. You're talking about a battle royal.
Well, did you win the battle royal? Win the battle royal?
That's okay, Dean. You know what? I didn't win the battle royal. Okay. Anything that was a singles match or a tag match, I've won.
That would
battle
be true.
Royal is a little different, but I will say
he doesn't know tank. It's cool.
If you want to talk about a battle royal, which is kind of it's definitely different as far as you know your wins and losses. In that case, you know, obviously there's only one person that can win. But I will also say, if we want to take a look back at that
you were eliminated by two better men. But go ahead.
Yes, and notice that you had to say two better men. It did take two people to put me out. And I will say on that note, if you want to take into consideration, we'll want to think about it. Not sure if you knew this, but there was one person that had more eliminations than anyone else, and you're talking to him.
Well, I eliminated
half of the field that was in that ring, half of them. Just wanted to give
he's
you
got,
a
he's,
just wanted
he's
to give
got
you
on that.
Clarity on
that.
Yeah.
Well, that
I'll let you know.
True.
So,
I agree with that. Yeah, the facts are
and I have no problem. I have no problems with the fact that I didn't technically win, you know, that match, because what really matters is where am I now?
He's the world champion.
Well, I mean, we all know Robert Knight went on to win the PG-13 match, defeating soundly Ty Reno. Now moving on.
Yeah. And where is he now? Where is he now? Where is Robert Knight now? Robert Knight is doing nothing but sitting on the sideline, running his mouth, and you know what? When it comes down to it, he's not stepping back into the ring, because I think he knows that when you have a champ like myself, you have nothing, you have no shot, you got no chance, unless you're going to do something underhanded, like Justin America has tried to do. And that obviously didn't work out too well for him either, did it? So the fact is, it doesn't matter if it's Robert Knight, if it's Justin America, if it's King Kong himself. You ain't got nothing on me. All right? So whoever steps in that ring, when it comes down to it, they're going to be in for the fight of their lives, and I'm having a good feeling that it's not going to come out good for them. So let's move on.
I'll move on to the six-man tag. I mean, admittedly, and I sadly admit this, the Rotund Brigade, as I like to call them, they've been pretty slick so far, teaming up and getting one over on other people. Are you worried at all about Big Burgundy with two Gs and any tricks he has up his sleeves?
I don't worry about anybody. I think when it comes down to it, they do a lot of running of the mouth. Burgundy runs his mouth a lot, and you know, you can run your mouth all you want, you could be underhanded and slick all you want, but what's going to pay off and what's going to really prove the point is what you do in the ring. And I am confident that the hard work that I put inside the ring, the hard work that I put outside the ring, is going to be more than enough to walk out once again victorious, along with my partners for that night. So
now,
the Gunners and myself we're going to be gunning them down. That's what it's going to come down to.
There you go.
Now, at the end of the last show, you and Mike Reed put on a fantastic match. I'll give credit where credit is due, but you put on a fantastic match. Afterwards, a video played, and it seemed to be directed toward you. I haven't heard you make any comments about it. Is this bothering you?
No, you know, it was kind of confusing to me, because, you know, here I am wrestling a match, doing a title match, and just got done a title match, and, you know, the referee goes to raise my hand, gives me the title, and next thing I know, this video is playing and talking, you know, about this, that, and the other, and it seems like it was directed towards me, because it looks like, you know, as someone that's trying to, you know, to get a shot at the champ. And, you know, I'm still kind of confused as to what it is about. But, you know, like I said, whoever it is, I'm ready for it. I'm ready any day, time, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month, next year. I'm ready to step in that ring, and I'm ready to defend that title. I'm a fighting champ. I'm not like some of these other people who will say, oh, I got a 30-day clause that tells me I don't have to wrestle so-and-so or I don't have to do another match for 30. No, I'm ready to go when it's time to go. Someone wants to challenge me, let's do it. I don't even care if it's in the ring. You want to do it outside the ring? You want to do it in the parking lot? You want to do it? You want to do it at Taco Bell? I don't care. I'm ready. Just, you know, so whoever was on that video talking, whoever he was directing that to, if it's towards me, so be it. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Well, how can you be ready for someone you don't even know who it could be?
Well, that's why you always have to be ready. Hey, what's the number one saying of the Boy Scouts? Always be prepared, right? Now, I was a Boy Scout when I was a kid, but you know what? I'll tell you what. That's just something in life. You're always ready. That's why you train hard every day. That's why you bust your ass day in, day out. Do what you got to do to be the best. You don't become the best by sitting around, you know, eating bags of Doritos, watching TV, playing video games, and then just jumping in the ring once a month or whenever. No, you be the best. When you are in the gym, and when it's all the hard work. You know what makes you the champ? Not going in the ring and beating someone. Being the champ, you become the champ by all the stuff you do outside the ring to prepare you for inside the ring. Inside the ring is the easy part. It's all that training, all that busting your butt to try and become the best that you can be. So when you get into that ring, you'll be ready for whatever comes at you. So because I bust my butt the way I do, day in, day out, when I step in that ring, it doesn't matter who's going to be in there against me. I am going to give them a fight, and I'm going to be prepared.
Well, you know what? You have a lot to say about Slim Burgundy. I'm going to bring him on right now. Now, Slim, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure for, you know, the genius that you are as a manager to be here. Now, Tank's been talking a lot here. What do you got to say to Tank?
You know what? What is there to say to Tank? He's just going to run his mouth because he's scared. He knows that time is inevitably not on his side. He knows that eventually he's going to have to face Mike in a one-on-one fair match and not have those hired hooligans that he has, the gunners running around trying to interfere with everything. You know, so take time, Tank. Enjoy it. You know, shine that title up. Put on your mantle. Take a look, admire it, take some photos with it, because you know what? Mike is going to get his chance again to take the title from you, and he's going to do it next time because you won't have those hired hooligans there to help you.
Oh, Burgundy, how you make me laugh. Look, here's the deal. I don't need to run my mouth. I just state facts, okay? I state facts. And then the rest of my talking will all be done in the ring. I do shine up my belt. I do shine up my belt. And I say my belt because it is my belt. It's my title, my championship. And I'm holding on to that as long as I want to. Okay? Until the day that I decide to give that title up, that thing will be around my waist. All right?
You've heard this song and dance before, Tank. You've heard it before. Oh, I'm the fighting champion. Oh, I'm going to do an amazing job. Never going to beat me, yada, yada. We heard it for years and years and years from everybody from, you know, all corners of the world. Oh, it's, you know, they...
The world is round. The world doesn't have any corners, Burgundy. The world is round.
You know what? Shut your mouth, okay? With all the corners in your damn chin. Shut your mouth.
I don't have any corners in my chin. It's round.
It is rather round.
Exactly.
And it's
exactly. It's got corners. Okay, go ahead, Slim.
That's all right. Bottom line is we'll get this guy back in kindergarten so he can learn his shapes. But in the meantime, like I said, I'll when I'm beat, when it's time for me to hand over that belt to someone else, it'll be one of two ways. Either one, I decide to give the belt up, or two, it'll be because someone was that good to beat me, okay? If someone deserves that belt, fine. But other than that, unless you're up to your old tricks, Burgundy, if you're up to your old tricks and you want to try and pull something slick, that's fine. But you got to remember, this ain't my first rodeo. I've been around the block, all right? I've been around the block. I've been around your block. I've been around Dean's block. I've been around Dan's block. I've been around everybody's block. And I know what people are capable of, and I know what people want to do for this title. I know there's a lot of underhanded things. I know there's a lot of shady things. I know there's a lot of backstabbing. And I know that people are clawing to the top of that mountain and trying to get the title by hook or by crook. And you know what? That's fine. If they want to fight me like that, I can fight dirty. I can fight clean. I can fight any way I need to in order to hold on to that title. And that's what I plan on doing. So you know what? Bring your rocks, bring your papers, bring your scissors, bring your guns, bring your bombs, bring your whatever you want to bring. Bring it. But the bottom line is I
bring it to
the
corners of the world.
I will roll over. Whatever you want to bring, bring. And I'll be there, and I'll be ready.
All right. I did put him on hold because once he gets worked up, he starts sweating profusely. His
no, I want him to bring it. I want him to bring it to the corners of the round world we have here.
Anyway, I do have another caller.
Just like the squared circle, right?
Yes, exactly. Good.
So I do have another caller. Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller?
Hey, yo, what's up, guys? Hey, Tank, I think you remember me, don't you?
It's Mark Angel.
Mark.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Good, man. Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to your little interview here, and you say, you know, when somebody's good enough to beat you for that belt, you know, that's when they'll get it. I'm pretty much sure Mike Reed was good enough last show, and you had to cheat him out of his, you know, world title victory there.
Shit, let me think how that went. I'm trying to remember that match. What happened in that match?
I remember it as in, you know, you were up on the ropes, you know, something was going on. I noticed your boot was untied. So, I was trying to help you, so, you know, you wouldn't fall and break your neck, and you decided to kick me off the apron.
I remember looking out for you. Right. Yeah, okay. Now I can remember a little bit more clearly. There I was, going up to the top rope, and I go to jump off top rope, and as I'm doing so, you grab my foot, trying to pull me down. Luckily, I kicked you off, but as I go to do that, the second thing that happens is Burgundy goes and grabs my leg and distracts me and pulls my leg out, which then caused me to fall off the rope. And then that was when Mike Reed was able to take advantage of the situation. Luckily, for my toughness, my ability to take a lot of pain, I was able to take that fall from the top rope, and still pull out the victory. But when it comes down to it, like I said, I'm not I don't have a problem with people pulling stunts, pulling shady things on me, and that was just a proof right there that's the way it does, and I can still come out on top. So you guys want to keep doing it, keep doing it. But when all is said and done, I am still going to come out on top. And if I don't, it's going to take a hell of a huge effort to beat me. That's all there is to it.
Well, you better be ready for Saturday because the brigade's coming. We're gonna give the beating to the Gunners that me and Nathan Avery have been giving them for the last 2 months. And
yeah,
Mike Reed is going to put the beating on you like he did last month.
Yeah,
well,
he did.
You know
Shut
what?
Up,
I just
hey,
decided
don't
something.
You know.
Hey, Angel Eyes, listen up. I just decided something. I'm going to save some of my beating that I'm going to put on Mike Reed. I'm going to save just a bit of it for you, too. So now you just put your foot in your mouth. And now because you have your foot in your mouth, I'm going to also make sure to make enough room to put my fist in your mouth. Okay, so make room.
Watch out.
Coming.
He has a hell of a right hand. Watch out.
Oh, I know. He's the one that eliminated me from that battle rule, and, you know, my chances going on getting a title shot. I remember.
Hey.
I don't forget things there either, Tank.
Hey, Angel Lips, listen. Here's the deal. Don't feel special. You're not the only one that I eliminated. I eliminated half the field in that battle royal, all right? So don't take it personally. Don't feel like you're special because you're not. I eliminated you, and I eliminated half the other competitors in that whole thing. And you know what? Come Saturday, it's not going to be any different. It's going to be you at the wrong end of my fist, all right? So just remember that. You wanted to come on the show. You wanted to call in. You wanted to run your mouth. Now I'm going to shut it for you. So come Saturday, let's see how much you're talking.
That's going to be the wrong end of your – I'm going to be on the wrong end of your – taking your teeth right down your throat and ending it for all three of you.
All right. Well, we'll see how that works out for you. So while you're trying to kick my teeth down my throat, I'll be knocking the yellow off your teeth.
Oh.
Ooh.
I believe Dan has a question for Mark, though.
Mark.
What's up?
I do have a question. Do you, like your manager, believe there are corners on the earth?
No.
No. Look, okay. He's under a lot of stress and pressure, okay? Leave him alone.
No. The earth, we know the earth isn't square, okay? It's a hexagon.
God.
Okay, Mark. Now, just a very quick question for you. What type of training has Burgundy put you through?
Oh, God, it's been ridiculous. We've been in the gym almost every day of the week prepping for this match. Not just for this match, just for everything in general. But we've been in the gym every day, strict diet. You know, we're ready. We're prepared.
Okay. I good to hear. So Saturday, it's, of course, Tank and the Gunners, the Hired Thugs, taking on...
Gunners.
Yeah, taking on the Burgundy Brigade. I'd say good luck, Mark, but I know you don't need it, especially with the guidance of Slim Burgundy.
We don't need luck against him.
It's not that need it. It's not that he doesn't need the luck. It's just that it's not going to help.
Oh.
I agree.
We're going to see you on Saturday, Tank.
Yes, we are. Okay, guys. Hey, I got to run. I got to shine my belt up. So,
No problem.
You got it. Hey, if you guys want to talk with Mark, feel free, but I got to run. I got to get this done.
Okay. I'll talk to you later, Tank.
Thank you, Tank.
Thank you for your time.
Are you, okay? All right. Okay. Bye.
Hey, he should be shining that belt off. It belongs to Mike Reed, not him.
Why didn't we hang up on him, too?
Well, you know, let's talk to Mark, you know, since Tank was so cordial in leaving. So, Mark, how's things going?
Not too bad.
You know what? I'm
going to
bring back on Slim. I'm going to bring on Slim.
Oh, good. You guys can have a love fest.
There we go. Hey, Slim, you still there?
Bring him back. What's up, Slim?
Oh, I'm still here, Dean. Thank you. You know what, Dean? Thank you for being such a cordial host, unlike that moron that's there with you and all.
Hey, you know what? I knew when I was 2 years old that the earth was round, you schmuck.
It's an expression.
I win.
I know that's crazy for you. I know those higher level thinking skills aren't developed, but it's called an expression.
Good, you're right. I looked it up on the internet.
Hey, Google knows all.
Google does know all. Now, Slim.
I Google Cindy Crosby is an airman.
Slim, I already asked Tank the question. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth.
Literally.
Now, what have you done to get Mark, Nathan, and Mike ready for this match?
Eat chicken.
I think the better question is, what haven't I done? You see, I've seen three individuals, three men, each with their own specific, unique skills that they bring to the ring. Mark is the center of attention. Mark is the guy you want to see, the guy that you must see when you go to any wrestling match.
They're the guy that everybody pays to see.
Absolutely, they pay to see him. The fact not only do they pay to see him, they pay extra to see him. They give extra money. They don't even have to because they want to see Mark Angel.
he's that damn good.
What about Nathan?
Nathan's so intelligent. I mean, the guy is an absolute genius.
Yes, Kim, about what shape you're
in. His intelligence is almost higher than mine. I mean, he is an absolute genius. Dan, I wouldn't be laughing. He makes you look like a, you know, a kindergartner looks smarter than you.
Not all the time, Dan. You know, I have to stick up with him on this one.
Not all the time, but, you know, more often than him.
Yeah, whatever. You know what? I also have the master official. Why the hell not bring him back? I got to ask him.
I need Robert not to back me up on this. We're buds.
Master Official, are you there? I'm not sure because the studio is a little crunched. Are you there? I don't think he's there. I was going to ask him, maybe he can answer by Twitter, about how did he miss all his calls? You know, Tank claimed that Mark Angel held onto the leg, that Burgundy. I didn't see it from my vantage point. So
you're blind. You have the eyes of a falcon.
You know what? The master official, know what he saw? He saw Tank Tolan viciously assault me. He pushed me right in the face, and he did absolutely nothing. And I mean nothing about it, and I am livid about that. In fact, Tank Tolan, if you're still listening, I hope this gets to you if you're not. If you ever, ever put your hands on me like that again, let's just say I'm going to have a legal presence available to me on Saturday. And if you lay your hands on me, there will be a lawsuit slapped on you faster than you could ever even imagine.
Lawsuit.
And Dan, as for you, if you don't shut your mouth and you keep blabbering on, we're going to sue you too for libel. Look it up.
It's not defamation if it's true.
True. You know what? It takes a lot of effort and a lot of work and a lot of time in the gym to look like I do. Of course, you don't know what a gym looks like because when you see a gym, you run the other direction.
Yeah,
you waddle. You waddle the other direction.
私の名前はアキラ・トーズバです。私はミステリーメンのベースプレイヤーです。時間も割いて私たちの音楽を聴いてくれただけありがとうございます。あなたがそれを楽しんで猫の記憶を私の驚くべき作り入れてしベースの技術宣告を席巻したりでの名前を買った。でもマイルス・デイブルス好きです。大好きです。その素晴らしい。
Bye.
right, we're back. Omega, I think you're with me.
I'm with you.
All right, Dan is picking up currently. We are back live on the air. Sorry about those technical difficulties, but Omega, we have business to discuss, don't we?
Let's get to it.
That's right. Come on. Faber, Jorgensen was the main event, but I think what stole the show, Omega, was Kat Zagano defeating Misha Tate.
I agree. I think that was fight of the night. I think that was certainly the most important result on the card.
Now, of course, for Zagano, this means she is going to go and she's going to coach the next season of The Ultimate Fighter.
Yes. Yes, she certainly made a statement on Saturday. She was, you know, she had the most to gain. She catapulted herself into presumably stardom, but certainly at least for 13 or so weeks on TV. I mean, she did what she had to do. A come from behind victory.
Mm-hmm.
Misha Tate was winning that fight. On two judges' scorecards through two rounds, Misha was taking Zagano down, was really aggressive, caught Zagano by surprise, I think, with her aggressiveness, with her ability to get the takedowns.
She's always been aggressive, though. Even going back to the Rousey fight, she was very aggressive against Rousey.
Yes. Well, she's her strength is her wrestling and her takedowns. She was, before she was Cupcake Tate, she was Takedown Tate. And that's where she gets her... That's where she would win her fights, is taking her opponents down and submitting them. And she was doing the takedown part very well for 1.5 rounds. And then Zagano kind of started to come back and started to land some shots and land some more shots. And so in the middle of the third round, it was Zagano landing some vicious, vicious knees to the head of Misha Tate from a tie clinch, just one after another, until Kim Winslow finally had to call the fight for Zingano, TKO victory in the third.
Yeah.
You know, great come from behind victory. Zingano proved that she is tough. She remains undefeated, which means that we're going to have the first title fight
between undefeated
yeah. fighters since Lyoto Machida and Rashad Evans.
That I mean, that's going to be something. And, of course, this was the second women's fight in the UFC. So I think it's a ratings grab, really. And Dana White, I think, was wrong about not wanting women's MMA in the UFC.
I think it did. The Ultimate Fighter finale was the highest rated, at least the one on FX, this particular one. You know, it's early to say, but I think it does make a case for women being a draw.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I got to think it does. I mean, and they in the two fights we've had have been great in the UFC, and we only have more to come. Invicta last weekend put on a great card. I think women's MMA is starting to really get some attention.
And rightfully so. I think MMA, women's MMA in particular, I think they have more to prove in a way. So they go after it.
They do, yeah.
Definitely. Now, the main event was, of course, as I alluded to, Uriah Faber defeating Scott Jorgensen. Now, this went four rounds, and rear naked choke ended it.
Yeah, this one... I don't think the outcome was ever really in doubt, in my opinion. There were times in the third round where Jorgensen started to come back, and I think he actually probably took the third round. But I didn't really feel that Uriah Faber was threatened at all. I didn't really feel like he was in danger of being put away. You know, Faber is just quicker, stronger, better wrestler. Really just kind of controlled the fight all the way from start to finish until the end of the fourth round. You know, as I alluded to, Jorgensen got a little advantage in the third round, but after the fourth round, I think Uriah Faber just kind of said, okay, it's time, and took Jorgensen's back and choked him out.
Well, and that's one thing about Faber. He really is a submission specialist, especially at this point, I think.
Yeah, your Faber is such a conundrum to me because he's that guy who's so good, except in title fights. You know,
yeah,
at least
yeah.
Title fights.
Well, I thought he fought the first UFC title fight. I personally thought he did, but I'm not a judge, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, he just hasn't. The thing about him is, what can you do with him? He lost to Henan Barral. He lost to Dominic Cruz. Do you want to? Can you reasonably give him another title shot? But the problem is, anybody trying to you put up against him gets beat. You know.
Yeah.
Faber beats everybody but people who are fighting for a title. So it's an interesting conundrum with Uriah Faber. Obviously he's a draw and he's a winning fighter. You can't deny him that he keeps winning. So I don't think anybody's really clamoring for him to get another title shot, but I don't think anyone can really argue if he did.
There you go. Now, also Uriah Hall, someone solved the puzzle of Uriah Hall.
Yeah, just don't fear him. You know, that was the thing I took away from that finale fight. Was, you know, Gastelum, you know, really didn't fear Uriah Hall's striking. I mean, I think he respected it. I think he came in knowing that Uriah Hall had some highlight reel KOs in the tough tournament, and really just said, you know, I'm just gonna fight as hard as I can. He really came in and, you know, just stepped in and was aggressive, certainly, like I said, he respected that Uriah Hall had good striking, but he didn't fear it, and managed to turn that into a fight where he came out landing more, and I think it caught Hall by surprise. You know, to your point, I think he solved the puzzle of what he had to do and managed to grind out a victory. It was impressive, I mean.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and it went 29-28, I believe, by all the scorecards. Am I correct? Yeah.
It was a split decision.
Oh, split. I'm sorry.
It was a split decision, so he didn't win on all cards. But, I mean, he...
Okay, yeah.
He looked good. He looked good.
Scored at 29-28, but two gave... Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, the thing about Gastelum is he's really undersized for that division, so... You know, dropping down to welterweight in the future will help him immensely. But, you know, Hall, obviously Hall with that kind of striking ability is a prospect. We'll see him again in the future.
And it looks like Travis Brown defeated the former. He was really highly touted when he first came into the UFC, but he's kind of floundered since. Travis Brown defeated Gabriel Gonzaga.
Yeah, the thing about this, it's really a two opposite sides of the coin. You know, Gonzaga came in, made a lot of noise, and kind of has drifted off. Travis Brown has come in with no fanfare and has quietly rattled off a bunch of wins. You know, he devastated Gonzaga in that first round with those elbows. Just from a standing position, just dropped the elbows while Gonzaga was fighting for a takedown and just dropped him. I mean, there's no real other way to describe it other than just four blows right to the side of the head and Gonzaga just crumpled.
He went limp and that was it.
Yeah.
Now, anything else from the undercard that you would describe as notable?
You know, there were some good fights, some good finishes, from some of the tough contestants. So, I mean, I wouldn't call it notable. We'll see how they do in the future. But I think overall the card was very good and delivered very well.
Now, coming up this Saturday, Omega, we, of course, have UFC on Fox 7. And that is going to be some interesting fights coming up with that.
I love this card.
It's a really good card.
It's a really good card. It's you know, the talent level on this card is great. They always seem to bring it for the Fox shows.
Of course, the main event is Benson Henderson, the lightweight champion, taking on Gilbert Melendez. And, of course, he was the former Strikeforce champion. So this is kind of – they're not considering a unification match, but it really kind of is, I suppose.
I don't think they've gone so far as to say it, but, yeah, it's a unification match. Yeah, it must be a Fox card because Ben Henderson is on it.
Yeah.
You know, he's been on – there's been – seven, he's been on three of them.
Yeah.
You know? So, and he's defended his lightweight title on him before. So, interesting fight here. On paper, you say that the skill sets of Benson Henderson and Gil Melendez are pretty equal. Both good strikers, well-rounded, good wrestlers. I think the difference here is Benson Henderson has been fighting the likes of Frankie Edgar and Nate Diaz, but you know, Gilbert Melendez has been stagnating in Strikeforce. He has not fought the level of competition in recent years.
Yeah, that's very true.
That Benson Henderson has. You know, I don't say Melendez doesn't have a chance. Certainly not. Melendez is a very good fighter. But he, like I said, he really hasn't seen UFC caliber fighters in a while. And so the question is, you know, is Gilbert Melendez that good, or are we just kidding ourselves? We've been clamoring for this fight for a while. We've been saying Gilbert Melendez needs to get to the UFC. He needs to get there. He's a great fighter. I agree with that, but I just don't know how he's going to do against a UFC caliber fighter, and certainly not against the lightweight champion of the UFC. That is a tall order for anyone.
Especially someone, like you said, who's had the caliber of fights. Two against Edgar Henderson, and, you know, the rest of the fights that he's rattled off, Nate Diaz and various others.
Yeah. I mean, he's just that good. I mean, Benson Henderson has improved since his WEC days. He's improved even through his championship reign. He's looked better.
Yeah.
Every fight. This is a guy with stupid athleticism. He's just very good all the way through. He's the real deal. He's definitely got to be considered in the pound for pound, I think. He's very strong. He's well rounded. He's a very good fighter. I have too many questions about Melendez. I guess is really what I come out of this fight saying. I know Ben Henderson's good. I don't know if Gilbert is as good as he is.
Co-main event, Frank Mir taking on newcomer Daniel Cormier, who has made a lot of noise in Strikeforce. What do you take away from that one?
Well, I mean, this is your up-and-comer versus your veteran gatekeeper, if you will.
Yeah, he is.
Frank Mir has been around forever. Frank Mir is a great submission specialist. He's got very improved boxing. His chin's questionable.
Very questionable, if you ask me.
Yep. You know, the Frank Mir, if you think about him succeeding, you're thinking, okay, he's going to try to get a submission. Problem is he's facing Daniel Cormier, who is an Olympic-caliber wrestler. Going to be very hard to take down and very difficult to control on the ground if you even manage to get him down. Cormier has shown knockout power before.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's an up-and-comer. He's young. He's hungry. He's 11-0. And we've seen Mir. It depends on which Mir shows up.
If he has the same fight plan as when he fought Big Nog, and that is to box, it's not going to go well.
Yeah, and that's where I can get to is he's not going to be able to take Cormier down, which leaves him with his only other strength, which is his improved boxing, and that's just going to drag him into an exchange where he doesn't want to be, and then it's going to be only a matter of time before Cormier throws a hook or an uppercut. And
he was really lucky that
he got the win against Big Nog, because he was on his way. He was a little jelly-liked. You know?
Oh, yeah.
He was about out. It was really only instinct, I think, a fighter's instinct to go for the submission.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I like Frank Mir. I think Frank Mir's an intelligent guy. I think he's a great commentator. And I think he's a good fighter. I mean, he's proven that he could fight numerous times. But, you know, when you're looking at the guy who's on the rise like Cormier, I tend to believe that Cormier has the goods to take on Mir.
Definitely. Also a lightweight fight, Nate Diaz taking on newcomer Josh Thompson.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about this, and Nate Diaz obviously coming off his loss to Ben Henderson, you know, what's his mindset going to be like? Is he going to – what's his strategy going into this fight? He's fighting let me step back. Nate Diaz got outstruck by Ben Henderson by a lot in his last fight. Josh Thompson is a striker. So that's going to be an interesting thing is Nate Diaz going to be able to improve upon that performance he had against Ben Henderson and against a guy who knows how to beat him and knows how to do those things well. You know, I wasn't impressed with Diaz in his last fight, and you know, he had his ups. He kept knocking off wins, so I don't discount that he deserved a title shot, but after that performance, I question his ability, and especially since we saw what happened to his brother a few months ago. And he has a very similar style, although I think probably – I actually give Nate the advantage for being a better fighter overall. But
I tend to agree.
You know, so it's a – but his style is very similar, and if he can't do the volume of punching and get a guy who's getting frustrated, he kind of falls apart. And Thompson's gonna come and he's gonna level some kicks. He's gonna throw some punches to the body and head, and we're gonna see and probably try to. I'm not sure he's gonna knock him out because both of Diaz guys are durable, but I can see Diaz getting outstruck again. And as soon as he starts getting hit, he's gonna lose confidence, and just kind of not going to turtle up, but he's going to get off his game, and then it'll be just kind of coasting. And that won't be enough to get a decision victory.
Anything else on this card that you would say is notable?
I got to like the Matt Brown-Jordan Mean fight. Matt Brown's obviously a guy who always comes to fight. Very, very tough guy, very good striker, good on the ground, always has a great showing. Jordan Mean is coming off his last fight, a very impressive win against Dan Miller. The other Miller looked really good in that fight, and you know, got knocked really swarmed on Miller and looked really good in the process. Now it's a short notice fight. He's filling in for Dan Hardy, but you know, this is a kid who's 23, has 35 fights.
Wow,
that's just crazy. So
that's kind of like Stefan Struve.
Yeah, I mean, so this is a guy who's going to be who's not going to be intimidated by the bright lights. He's been in wars. He's been in all kinds of fights. So I'm really interested in this fight. You see where that goes. It starts off night.
You know what's weird? Talking about the bright lights, you just hit something off in my brain. It's very odd because when you're under those lights, even on a smaller scale like Locked in the Cage, you really can't see the people. You hear it, obviously. It's energizing, but you really can't see those people.
Yeah.
When you're under those lights, and you have that single shining light coming down, and, you know, up on the rig you have more light shining down, you really can't see the people out there. And I think maybe it's more mind over matter for some of the guys. Now, granted, it's not UFC scale, but still, I just thought that would be an interesting antidote.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, if you've ever been on a stage, really anywhere,
you know, I was on stage in the band for in high school. You really can't see people, but it's still intimidating to know those people are out there. And certainly I've never been into – I'm not going to sit here and say that I've been under the kind of pressure that these guys are under.
Oh, definitely.
But, you know, I can at least relate to the fact that, you know, you kind of tangentially know that these people are out there and they're watching you, you know.
And that is some
level of pressure.
Yeah, definitely. So that is Saturday on Fox. I believe it starts at 9 p.m.
So I think it's 8.
Oh, 8 p.m. That's right, because they don't have their news starts at 10 o'clock. So at 8 p.m. on the Fox network.
FX will have the prelims, I believe it, 6.
Now, Chris, where can the fine people find you?
The fine people can find me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
Follow me at DanLaw83.
You can find me at Folsom County. You can find the Twitter of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio. There's also a website, HIACTalkRadio.com. And that will take you to the blog where pretty much you'll be up to date with everything going on in New Moon Rising Wrestling and various other promotions.